Hi, it's Melissa Moore. Welcome to Mile High Magazine. Excited to talk with our next guest, Dr. Angela Tran. We've talked to her before. She's an internal medicine doctor and also an obesity expert. So the perfect person to talk to during Heart Month. Hi, Dr. Tran. Good morning.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited about this topic.
Yeah, let's talk about our heart health. I mean, that's kind of the focus of this month being about heart health. And let's dive right into one of the big topics, and that is your weight tied to your heart health. What is that correlation?
Yeah, so as we know, you know, your heart is one of the most important organs of the body, and being overweight can actually put you at a higher risk of developing high cholesterol, diabetes, and high blood pressure. And the reason why you need to know that is that that can unfortunately lead to a heart attack or stroke. So as a medical weight loss doctor, every single day I'm talking about prevention, helping patients really understand nutrition and exercise to support the heart to reduce those risk factors.
Well, let's really break it down to very specifics. I mean, when you're carrying extra weight, what does that do to your heart?
Yeah, so think about it. It's kind of like an extra dumbbell on your body. So the extra pounds actually puts more load on your heart. And if you understand that your heart is constantly beating for, you know, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, you really want to make it easy for your heart. So adding extra weight, again, will put strain and it will affect the blood flow. And then again, that's where it can cause problems. You know, unfortunately, even, you know, at my age in our 40s and 50s, where we really need to pay attention to our diet and our health, that affects our heart.
Right. Well, let's talk about your diet and how you eat. Is there a diet that is better for your heart than others?
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously people have understood about the difference between good fats and bad fats. So, you know, the good fats are like, you know, avocado and, you know, almonds and walnuts, and healthy fats are certainly, believe it or not, actually lower your cholesterol levels, even lower your blood pressure. Fatty fish is another example. So you want to incorporate more of that. But we all know that we're guilty of those bad fats, or what we call saturated fats or trans fats. Those are, you know, found in butter, you know, meat that is high in fat, certain creams and oils, and of course, our favorite goodies like chocolate and baked goods, kind of a thing.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, you talked about knowing your numbers a little bit and your cholesterol number. How does that all tie in?
I'm so glad that you asked that. This is actually a perfect time of the year to go to your primary care doctor or, you know, visit with me to get a full metabolic panel. And again, we are looking at the traditional numbers such as your cholesterol, your blood sugar, even just things like your kidney and liver function, which also, you know, is influenced by the heart, so that you really understand where your baseline is. Mm-hmm. What kind of adjustments do you need when it comes to, you know, the different kind of cholesterol? I know the listeners have heard of LDL, which is what we call the bad cholesterol. Mm-hmm. HDL is what we call the good cholesterol. And just it allows us to really understand that there's no judgment about our weight. It's just if we look at the numbers and understand metabolically how to approach it,
sure,
then we have a more of a positive mindset in taking control of our own health.
Right, right. So you get those numbers done, you look at them, and then as you talked about, you try to get rid of those saturated fats. And from things,
yes,
I've read, we eat more of that in our country than anywhere else.
Yes, and unfortunately, you know, they're in, you know, in fast food and processed foods, and, you know, and I understand that there are a lot of busy on-the-go professionals who just don't have time to cook these days, but those are the things that we need to be mindful of, because now we don't feel it, but it's unfortunate. It's one day you're fine and the next day you're not. So we have to be careful about that.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about sugar. How does sugar and your A1C and all of that, how is that tied to your heart health?
You know, very good question, because, you know, if you have high sugar, that eventually can lead to, you know, diabetes, it can actually affect the walls of your blood vessels. Okay, so again, keep in mind your heart is trying to pump through these blood vessels to carry oxygen throughout your body, but if the walls are not strong, mm-hmm. then that's where you can be susceptible to, you know, blood clots or damage to your kidneys. I unfortunately am going through, you know, a personal family member who had a stroke not too long ago because of longstanding diabetes and blood pressure, mm-hmm. you know, problems. And I don't know if people realize that, you know, you can have problems with paralysis where you lose the left side of your body. You can lose your eyesight. In this case, you can even lose memory function. So this is really my opportunity to just really, you know, reach out to those who are concerned about their health. This is the time to prevent, because again, like I said, it will hit you without notice.
Right. Absolutely.
And
explain to me again about sugar and the walls of the heart and the blood vessels, how that all works together, because we also eat such a diet high in sugar here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just think of it. I hate to use this analogy, but people really understand it. It's like flood in the basement. You know, you can go downstairs and check it out and, okay, there's flooding in the basement. But again, if it's overloaded, if you have too much sugar, it eventually causes sort of like in the basement language, mold, right? Damage.
Okay.
And things just don't work as well. They're inefficient. You're tired. And again, you're more susceptible to infection. And there's just so many complications involved. And again, when you're young, we just think, oh, no big deal. I'll just work better to improve. But
right.
if you think about the years cumulative, that's where it really causes problem, particularly put you at risk for a heart attack, which is what diabetic patients specifically have a high risk for.
Yeah, and I think some people maybe don't realize the correlation between having a higher risk for a heart attack and having diabetes.
Yes, and it is important to note, you know, diabetes not only affects, you know, the blood flow, but it also affects your nerves. So you might have heard of the phrase neuropathy, where people, you know, can't feel, you know, in their feet or their fingers, numbness and tingling. But the reason why I mention that is diabetics are actually susceptible to what we call a silent heart attack, meaning there are those who don't even feel the traditional chest pain and end up in the ER only to find out you're having a heart attack. You know, we need to get you you know, to the heart cath right away. So that is also something important to know, especially if you do have diabetes, you may not get the traditional warning sign.
Right. Yeah, very good information to know. And what about women and heart disease? I think a lot of women had traditionally been thought of as a man's disease, but that is definitely not true.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought that up because, yes, it's the same kind of response. You know, men, if they have, you know, problems with their heart, they do have the classic, what they call chest pain. It feels like an elephant sitting on my chest, the left arm pain.
Yeah.
But women are just built differently. And I have, you know, treated women who maybe just felt tired that day or just felt off. And then all of a sudden, they go into, again, the hospital only to find out they've had a heart attack or stroke. So, again, I don't mean to scare, you know, our listeners, but the best way to treat is prevention.
Right.
And the heart is literally, believe it or not, one of the most important things, but it's not complicated. If you take care of your heart in so many different ways, it will take care of you.
Right. And a lot of that, like we talked about when we first started talking, is getting that weight off. And for people that feel like, oh my gosh, it's overwhelming, I have so much weight to lose, can just starting and losing, you know, 5-10 pounds, I mean, does that have a positive effect on the heart?
Absolutely. I always tell patients, simplify, because overwhelm really causes us to feel like we want to give up before we even start. So when I'm talking to a patient, start looking at what you need to add more of in your life, not so much cut out, because we automatically feel like, oh, okay, well, now I have to cut out sugar and fat and I can't eat my favorite foods, and then it just feels defeating.
Right.
So let's talk about adding more steps to the day. That's simple. You know, the traditional 10,000 steps a day, we're all guilty of sitting at a computer and we're sedentary. You know, the second thing is, like I said, adding more healthy fats and lean proteins. You know, those, believe it or not, we may have a high, you know, carb in, you know, our diet, but the reality is we actually don't eat enough protein and healthy fats. And then the most important thing, believe it or not, one of the things that I really, you know, educate patients is the beauty of sleep, allowing your heart to restore. So that's just not working so hard, you know, and getting the restorative sleep. These little things really go a long way.
Yeah, and I know for women, especially as they go through menopause and their hormones are so out of whack, sleep is hard to get.
Absolutely. Those hot flashes on top of, you know, the stress and the cortisol. And I call it the 2 a.m. club, you know.
There's
a lot of women out there just wide awake at 2 a.m.
Yes.
But then, and then they're, you know, required to start their day at 5:30, and then it can cause health problems right from the get-go.
Yeah, and what do those women do? What can they do?
You know, one of the things is that we're really, that's really where, you know, when I'm talking to women, we do what I call a lifestyle audit. Us women, and I will include men too, but look at all of the activities that you do. And a lot of women specifically just don't have the ability to say no. No pun intended, but they have a lot on their plate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
we do tend to help everybody in our lives except ourselves. And the simplicity of just really understanding how to create boundaries, believe it or not, gives you peace of mind. You're able to sleep properly. But if you're constantly just thinking about what did you do today, what did you not do, what do you need to do tomorrow, your brain is just constantly wired, and that's why it affects your sleep.
Absolutely. And then let's talk about, as we were talking about, things you can add in versus just take away. Exercise. That is, we hear it all the time. We talked about steps a little bit, but just movement in your day.
Absolutely. And people, you know, probably already realize your heart is an actual muscle, much like your bicep. So in order to keep that heart muscle strong, you know, to give that blood flow throughout your body, you want to add, you know, those extra steps. You want to do activities that raise your heart rate. Technically, the recommendation is you want to try to get at least 30 minutes of exercise 3 to 5 days a week. But I do also encourage strength training so that we can just build muscle. But the most important thing is just find an activity that you enjoy. That's really what is going to make a longer lasting habit.
Well, and I think that's why we've seen such this huge explosion in the pickleball world, because people, as they are getting older, are finding, hey, I can go out and have fun, play pickleball, and get some good movement at the same time.
Absolutely. Pickleball is just, it's great type of exercise for all ages. Rowing is also a very low impact, and yet it incorporates over 80% of your muscle groups. And I will throw in swimming. I know it's not so easy for, you know, people to have access to a pool or get into a swimsuit, but it's such a great exercise without putting much load on your body in order to take care of your health in that order.
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying find something you enjoy and just start, just do it.
Absolutely. And like I said, just take care of your heart. It really is, you know, the heartbeat of your life, and it gives you energy. It supplies, you know, your body oxygen, and it will give you that long-lasting, you know, lifespan that you need. But you definitely have to take care of it.
Absolutely. Dr. Angela Tran, internal medicine doctor and obesity expert. For folks that maybe want to reach out, talk to you a little bit more about what you do and how you can help them, where should they go?
Yes, I offer free phone consultations at medfitmedicalweightloss.com. And again, this is exactly why I went into, you know, this field, is that it is all about prevention.
All right. Dr. Angela Tran, thank you so much for your time today. Happy February. Happy Heart Month to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too, for being here on this Sunday morning. I'm Melissa Moore for Mile High Magazine. Hopefully you go out and have just a great day. For more information on this guest or any of the other guests you've heard, just go to your radio station's website. I will see you back here next Sunday. Go out, have a great and blessed day, and remember to be kind to everyone.